Hi, this is Paul Finnegan, founder and CEO of Shantala. Here are some clips from our audio holograms, a specialty of ours. A Shantala audio hologram explores the true and timeless essence of a person solely through the medium of audio. Thanks for listening, and if you or someone you know would like to be the subject of an audio hologram, email us at info@shantala.space. Yes, .space is a real top-level domain, just like .com. And an audio hologram would be a great and unique gift for someone in your life.
I've always looked to have an expansive view on things and to pick up the threads and not forget the little things that might be important to the story. And I always think of, like, my own spiritual beliefs, and I respect all religious beliefs and none, but my own spiritual beliefs are that we are here in a universe that is always expanding. I mean, that's often the way I start my day, to think and to ask for my mind and my heart to be expanded. For past time, I took my way. Where I is fine, a lovely fair.
All your siblings, do they ever find themselves in the same room ever anymore?
The last time we were all in the same room, I can see us all around my father's snooker table, and it was the day after he had died. So that was December 2004. It was December 22nd. He died in December the 21st, 2004. That was the last time we were all in the same room.
And everybody came back for the funeral, is it?
Yeah. Stephen at that time had come back from Texas for a few years with his wife and sons so that their children could know their grandfather. And then Sean had come back to see Dad because Dad wasn't well, but it wasn't expected at that time that Dad would die. So he happened to be there making a special visit to see Dad. And then I got the call, as emigrants often do, on the Sunday. I got the call at 3 o'clock, and at 6 I was on my way to JFK. But Ireland is home. I always knew the way a lot of New Yorkers talk about having a place upstate, which is like this liminal thing sometimes until it becomes a real thing. I knew I could never do that. I mean, I've traveled all over the States. Like, Manhattan is my home, but New Mexico was my favorite state. But I couldn't think of having a place there. I always knew that Ireland was my Vermont.
I asked Mike to explain the term tag'em and bag'em.
One of your GIs get badly smashed up and dies, so you have to put them in a body bag, and you have to put a tag on their toe, and you have the dog tag, put it between their teeth, and that's the identification when they go back. I remember this young kid came back from Dublin, and I just happened to say, "Oh, look at this, sir. What is this? This young fella's from Dublin." "Yep. What do we do now?" "You know what you got to do. You tag him and bag him. You send him back, and he'll be sent to Ireland. And I think he said the family will have a pension from being in the United States Army." But that was one of my first casualties, a kid from Dublin. Young like myself. You'd be sleeping, just lying down to go sleep at night, and you'd hear all the mortars and all the stuff going off. You'd say to yourself, hope one doesn't land here.
So yeah, that was a kind of an introduction to a world that I suppose I was sheltered from, and most people are sheltered from. This was just an utterly, you know, brutal act. I suppose, you know, a really human story of tragedy and loss and insanity, really. The one thing about this job, being a reporter, being a journalist, I think it shapes you. What you have to do, where you go, what you see, what you have to do. I mean, I sometimes think of myself, what if I'd been a teacher like my father? How different would I be now? I don't think fundamentally not very different, but what I've seen in this world, I am sure, I can't compare. We can't go back and rewrite the script, but it must have shaped me. And so maybe I'm a little bit hard and cynical at this point. I hope not too much. But that was a story that I just remember as a standout, one you didn't want to do.
Speaking of Irish womanhood being a force to be reckoned with, no one knew this better than Jacqueline's dad.
I'm one of seven girls. That includes triplets, actually. So my parents had six children under the age of five. So it was a pretty busy household, and there was great excitement in Tuam when my triplet sisters were born. I fell in love with New York, so I just had it in my head that I wanted to come back.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of it. New York, New York, these little town blues.
So I did the first production of A Thief of Christmas, and then the second production, my role was recast, I should say. And I came to New York, and I lived in Queens, not far from here, actually. When I moved here first, I moved to Woodside. I had great friends there, and it was very exciting. Of course, it would be, you know, coming to the big city.
We started at a new club in Manhattan that we thought was going to be different. And we worked there for about 6 months, and we realized it wasn't going to be different. So we stopped, and we're like, okay, we got to just stop working with all these shady club owners. So we just went into Brooklyn, and we could get on our bikes, and we would just go around Brooklyn. We would just find warehouse space and loft spaces, and we would find a way of renting them for a day and a night. And we would just build a party ourselves from scratch. We bought a sound system. We figured out how to run a bar. We found a security team that we could work with who were super friendly. We did all the hiring of the bartenders. We hung lights, and we were the DJs, and we would book other DJs that were more well-known than us as a way of also attracting people in. And we called it Mr. Saturday Night as a way of giving it a sort of like fun, whimsical name that was sort of ambiguous, but also more accessible than historically limited nightlife names or nightlife presentations. And we did a bunch of branding that was very, very much about fun and openness. And I think it resonated with people because they were otherwise seeing a scene that just wasn't very attractive to them. And we started to build a following and people would come out. And then we were presented an opportunity to do a daytime outdoor version of the dance party in Gowanus on a patch of land by the canal. And so we did that, and we called that Mr. Sunday because we did it on a Sunday. It was during the day, so you know, it's kind of like Coke and Diet Coke. And also like Coke and Diet Coke, Mr. Sunday became much bigger than Mr. Saturday Night. So this was all sort of building. Lots of people were coming out. It was clearly connecting. So we knew we had to take some risks, but we were so passionate about it and so believed that we were doing something for this culture that had been beaten up and battered, that was a culture that was a meaningful way of giving people connections. But to me, it was like, this is the most exciting thing that's happened to me. This is the culmination of a yearning and a searching for something, and it's happening in New York, and I'm 30, and I just want to keep doing it. I was prepared to take those risks. And so we just kept the head down and kept doing it.
I'm a former champion Muay Thai fighter, which I'm really proud of. And I still train. I don't spar anymore, although I could, but, you know, I'm 61 and, you know, let the young ones have their day. I entered Muay Thai because an ex-boyfriend told me I couldn't do it. That's that don't tell me I can't do something and the rage, I suppose, or the anger that I used to have. And at first, you know, everyone stayed away from me, I remember, because they were terrified of me. And I found I was really good at it. And I found after a while, it gave me peace. It was like the zazen for me. It was a channel for the anger and rage that I had. And I became a champion. And, you know, I tell the young people now that I train with, you know, this guy across the ring, they're not their friend. They're not their friend. So get in there, do your business, knock them out, get it done, have your day in the sun and like, this is it. Get it over with. Muay Thai is to the knockout. It's a brutal sport, but, you know, hey, for me, it's my happy place. My first fight, I was as nervous as all heck. And I remember in the warm-up behind the scenes, you know, you get wrapped up and you have to have the wraps approved by the judge. And you warm up. And I remember socking my trainer in the face because he did a fake jab at me. And anyone that comes to me or at me and I think they're going to harm me, I immediately act out because of my childhood. And he said, calm down, save it for the ring. And he had a talk with me because he knew how I grew up. And he said, you've waited your entire life for this. Your entire life you've been beaten up, beaten down, put down. This is your day to show them all. This is your day to shine. And this is your day to prove them all wrong. So go out there and have your day in the sun. And you know, they put a robe on you and they put a hood on your head so you're not distracted from the crowds. And when you're in there, you can hear your friends, you can hear every voice, you can hear a heartbeat, you can hear your breath, you can hear a trainer in the corner. Your senses are so heightened. And you don't know that person across the ring from you, but they're out there to kill you, to knock you out. And, well, here you are. And all of a sudden, you start to hear your name being chanted. And it's amazing because for once, everybody's cheering for you. They're cheering for you. They're rooting for you.
And they were cheering, Jasmine, 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 Jasmine. And after three rounds, and I really kind of beat the crap out of the poor girl, but anyway, you know, as I was waiting for the vote, I didn't know what to expect. And when they raised my arm and I had my day in the sun and everybody was up on their feet and chanting my name, it was like I had my day in my sun and no one was going to beat me up anymore and no one was ever going to put me down. And it was the best day of my life. I was a champion.
Hi, Paul Finnegan here with a final word. I hope you enjoyed those clips from some audio holograms we've done recently. You heard the voices of Susan McKeown, Mike Doherty, Ray O'Hanlon, Jacqueline Keeley, Eamon Harkin, and Yasmin in that order. And again, if you or someone you know would like to be the subject of an audio hologram, email us at info@shantala.space. And don't forget, they make for a great gift.